Thank you. So the question is, as a former senior staff nurse and now suffering with a long-term long-term disabilities, the future of the NHS is a worry for this lady, and she's very interested to know what the panel thinks and what their parties plan to do to secure the future of our National Health Service. And in reverse order,
hey,
you, sir.
Here we go. great question, Annette. She is wearing a Labour T-shirt, but I wasn't aware of the question before, don't worry. just to keep you all assured. However, it is one of the most critical questions of this general election, and we must address it. And I personally find it a moral outrage over the last 10 years, and I'm sure you all do, that this is the worst A&E waiting times in 15 years. There are a lack of doctors, a lack of nurses, which unfortunately is down to the coalition government and the Conservative cuts going forward from that. And we need to rectify that now. And so what our proposal is that we will increase spending by 4.3% per year, which is what the NHS is crying out for. That includes more bursaries for doctors and nurses. We're also going to invest in a generation of GPs, which will increase 27 million appointments per year, okay, and reduce rate waiting times, but also a massive investment into mental health. As I said earlier, we've...
Jim, sorry, did you explain how you're going to pay for that?
If that's a follow-on question, Mr. Chairman, then yes, I will. Politics is about choices, and you can either... by the way, it's a fully costed manifesto, and politics is about choices. You can either... choose to spend money on giving tax breaks to those at the top, who then put it into offshore accounts, or you can choose to spend money, you can choose to spend money on public services, or giving people a proper living wage, or properly giving the foundations of society. That's the political choice, and that's the reality that we live in. And in terms of an economy, we're investing into a sustainable economy that will actually grow. So if you give it at the bottom, okay, a foundation, then the money and the people have more money in their pockets and be able to invest and buy goods and buy products, and therefore that would go around the economy and therefore stimulate business, and therefore in the longer term that will generate more growth, and therefore we'll be able to fund our public services better. That is a sensible, common sense economic plan on how we're going to invest and spend on our public services and our education. Thank you very much.
I don't think it's a surprise to hear that the NHS is in crisis. Years of underfunding below the historic rate have seen A&E waiting times worse than ever. Cancer waiting times are breaking records for the wrong reasons since 2015. So we have a decade of underinvestment. We have 100,000 vacancies across nursing, doctors and support staff in our hospitals. Locally, GP and dentist appointments can be increasingly hard to get, and lack of mental health support puts a burden on voluntary services. Lack of provision for the homeless, access to GPs is an issue locally. But what's the Green Party going to do? Like James and the Labour Party, we're going to increase spending by 4.5% on this year's figures, investing an extra £6 billion a year. We're going to add another £1 billion to reinstate the bursaries and make sure our nurses are fully trained and given the support to get through what is not an easy education process and not straddling them with debt like many of our students are now. We're going to reverse the creeping privatisation of the NHS, and one of the reasons that we want to campaign for Remain in the EU is to stop the NHS being on the table for any trade deal with the US going forward. So, one of the pledges, mental health provision, especially for our young, CAMHS. CAMHS is in crisis. It takes far too long, it can be 12, 16 weeks before you can get an appointment at CAMHS. We commit to providing access to mental health treatment for everybody within 28 days. If you go to A&E when it's not in crisis, you have a team of 20, 40 professionals on hand if you've broken your arm, broken your leg, had a heart attack. They're there. Mental health does not have that parity of esteem. We need to commit to that so you can get the support that's needed when you're in crisis. So that's our commitment. We will reverse the cuts and the lack of funding and make an NHS that we're proud of, as we've been proud for the last 70 years. Thank you.
Yeah, okay. So unlike the parties here, obviously I can't make any promises about spending billions of pounds on these things. But perhaps I can add a bit of analysis, or maybe give you a couple of nuanced points about the NHS maybe. So we obviously all need to use the NHS at some point in our lives, well, all normal people anyway. And there are a number of things I think we need to think about. So NHS trusts have a lot of arbitrary targets, arbitrary financial targets, and I think that's pushing them really in the wrong direction, so that's one thing. I think another thing is that we should all be prepared to pay for some of the simpler things that the NHS provides. Prescription drugs like paracetamol cost 35p. I think we can all afford to pay for some of those less important things rather than requiring them to be given them by our GPs, for example. Like James highlighted, the lack of doctors and nurses is clearly one of the biggest problems we face. I think we're probably going in the wrong direction now if we're saying we want to leave the EU, because without the workers from the EU, because a large proportion of those doctors and nurses at the moment are from the EU. I think, like Steve said, the NHS needs to stop being privatised. I mean, there are already areas of the NHS that are being privatised right now. It's quite difficult now to get an NHS dental appointment, for example. Another point is that there aren't enough GPs, and this is partly this is causing another problem, which is A&E waiting times, because all of those problems which should be being handled by GPs, because there are so few of them, are being pushed onto A&E, which is causing tremendous problems for those people that obviously have real issues. So
thank you.
Thank you, Annette. You mentioned funding and you mentioned nurses. And the Prime Minister agrees with you on both of those things. I think one of the things that the Prime Minister has been clear on since he took office was that he promised a cash injection for the NHS of £33 billion. I know that's taking into account the money that was pledged under Theresa May's government too. But it is a key part of the Conservative manifesto. And some of that's going into new or to upgraded hospitals, one of which in the second tranche of construction is going to be the Royal Baths in Reading. But I do think sometimes in elections, politicians or political candidates make the mistake of just talking in figures and sort of empty promises. And I think there are three things that we really need to focus on in the NHS. The first is patient outcomes. And I think we can measure the success of our NHS by how we're doing on cancer survival rates, on how we're doing on dementia. And so those are priorities for me and they're priorities for this government. The second thing, yes, is nursing. I went to a really moving talk, sort of medical talk, where a nurse got up and talked, I think she worked in Reading actually, about how she felt that there were not enough people on the wards to give the care that was required. And I'm really glad that there is a commitment to increase nursing, because anyone who's either been in A&E or spent time on a ward knows how important and how sort of intimate, actually, that level of care that you get when you're in hospital and how kind of vulnerable you are at that moment. So that is the most, I think, really important thing that's sometimes overlooked. So the Conservative manifesto has a promise. So I'm sorry, so the question was about the funding of nursing training. And the point was made that if without the bursary that had previously existed, it would have been impossible for someone like Annette to have trained as a nurse. And the Conservative manifesto has a commitment to a maintenance grant of £5,000 per year for nurses. And the final thing, may I just say, on the NHS, which is one that sounds incredibly boring, but I think is really important, and that is the digitalisation of the health service. And I encourage you, if you haven't looked at it, to look up NHSX, which will cover everything from patient records, patient safety, procurement, because one of the biggest problems in the health service is actually that doctors and nurses are spending too much time on red tape when in fact a properly digitalised information system around the NHS would free them up to do the jobs that they're employed to. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for the question. So the Lib Dems, we want to invest £36 billion into the NHS, and they're all going to be similar numbers that we're going to hear on this. But crucially, we can also say how we are going to pay for it. So we will put a penny on income tax into each band, and we will use that money and we will ring fence it for the NHS. So it will go on mental health, it will go on adult social care. And what we need to do is think about the NHS as a complete package. It's one of the proudest things that we have as a country, and I think it's one of the things that shows us to be a caring and compassionate society, that we can care for people. Regardless of their own wealth. We, in our manifesto, have a commitment to bring back bursaries for nursing. We know how key that is. And we also have a commitment to bring back 5,000 more GPs. The average waiting time for a GP in this country is 2 weeks, and we believe that is just too long. And so by bringing back the GPs, we have a target within there at 2025, so we're crystal clear about it. A couple of the other areas that we haven't touched on there is we want to bring in a patient premium. We have areas of this country where it's really hard to recruit doctors and nurses. And what we want to do is be able to say that regardless of where you live, in a high worth area or in a deprived community, you should have access to top quality medical treatment, and we will use a patient premium to recruit highly skilled doctors and nurses into those communities. And that will make a real difference. And once you can tackle health inequality, you get to tackle social inequality as well. So it's all completely joined up. And then the other big commitment, and I said in my opening remarks, is our commitment to mental health. We are committing £11 billion towards this aim because it is so crucial. It's crucial to the economy. It's crucial to our own well-being. More people take time off sick for mental health than for any other reason. So we have to address it. And we will do that by putting more talking therapies in place. We will fund local authorities better so that they can carry on some of their work. I know the CAM service here has taken a whack, but actually, in fairness, the Emotional Health Academy is addressing some of those things. And it's right that we stand up and we talk about other parties' achievements when they are right. And I know the leader of the council is in here this evening as well. So, look, health is so important to us, but in the round picture, it links in with every other public policy area as well. I met a policeman in Hermitage a couple of Sundays ago, and he said, we don't need more policemen. What we need to do is not be dealing with mental health. The NHS need to be able to deal with that properly. Under a Lib Dem government, you would get that priority commitment.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.